What is up, guys? Welcome to the SueCast. This is episode number 42. We're doing a video this time around. We also, as you can see, we got a little newer setup, of course. You might have seen this on the stories and whatnot. I'm now working on a standing desk. I've wanted this for a long time, so the chair is behind me, but we are ready to go ahead and get this episode started. All we want to do is go ahead and talk about my post thoughts of MPL Philippines season 12 and alongside of what is ahead of us, which is of course M5. Now there's also MPLI, but I'm mostly going to focus on M5 here, and of course my thoughts for the season. So hope you got your coffee, hope you got something to drink or a chill out with. Let's get to the episode. Here we go. Okay, so first off, we're gonna go ahead and, you know, I'll just acknowledge the fact that for me, this was probably my favorite season so far as a caster. And I feel like even if I was a viewer, right? Like I absolutely love this season. It was a little bit shorter. I talked about this in the previous episode of the SueCast here. And, you know, for me, with the regular season being 6 weeks, I think it like that condensed schedule makes things, there's a little more pressure there, of course, right? And I think it went smoothly for the most part, like in terms of the season, right? And also this was just one of those seasons where, hey, you know, we have so much competitiveness going on for this season that it just like blew my mind. Because usually, you know, for the season, you kind of have an idea of, okay, these guys are going to win. This is going to be our top two. You know, you kind of expect all these things when they play out. Well, this one was very different. Of course, into the season, a lot of people kind of already acknowledged, like, all right, Echoes, defending world champions, they're probably going to be up there, which they were, right? The streak that they had at one point nearly damn broke the streak that's in place. AP Bren, of course, after all they accomplished and did in ISF, people put them, you know, probably up top too if they had their preseason rankings. I didn't do any. And then you have the other teams, right? And I would say for the most part, for through the regular season, yeah, we did have Echo on top. AP Bren was kind of struggling here and there. They were, you know, they started strong, just like Onyx. Onyx Philippines started strong, which a lot of people kind of weren't expecting, you know? TNC, unfortunately, very similar to the previous season. And I think a lot of people still root for TNC a lot of the times. But just overall, how things kind of fell into place throughout season 12 was very interesting for me as a caster because, you know, I would say like most casters, of course, like have a bias, if you will. Like we try not to be biased, by the way. We really do. And it's not our intention to be biased, but of course, like you're rooting for a team or maybe two or some players and whatnot. But I would say essentially like this season, why I'm saying I enjoyed it so much is just because of the fact that you could literally root for every single team this season and they found some form of success along the way, you know, even down to the end of the regular season when Echo was losing, right? So that was kind of like a shock for a lot of Echo fans and Orca fans and whatnot, or Orcas. And when we got into the playoffs, let's move into the playoffs. My initial thoughts with playoffs, number one, venue wise, because this is like one of the first times that playoffs is now not in SMX. Like for me, like at least my experience, guys, as being a caster, as soon as we started having back, I think it was in season 9, we had the playoffs over there, you know. So having it in a different place, the EMV Convention Center, I was kind of curious how it would be, you know, how would it be broadcast wise. And I will say this as an English basically exclusive English caster, I think everything looked great and it went well. It was cold in the venue. I know a lot of you guys that came to watch it, you know, it was colder there than what most of you are probably used to, which for me is great and everything because we're fully suited up. But if I could hope for one improvement, at least from the broadcast perspective of just English, is that our audio is better. And the reason why I say that is because when I would listen to the English stream, as I always review the games or my casting, for example, to see how I can improve, it just like our audio was off, man. Like, I don't know what was happening there, you know, and it was peaking and it didn't sound very clean. And me as an audio guy, as someone that works with audio a lot from my day-to-day basis, I guess it's a big pet peeve of mine. Right. And, you know, of course, like we, you know, we voice our feedback and whatnot. And hopefully, again, love the people that are behind the scenes working in the production and everything else, setting things up. But, you know, that would be like the top of my wish list for M5 would be that the English audio is what it should be, because I feel like also from a caster perspective, if you are listening to the like peaking audio, if you will, it's not fun to listen to, right? It hurts your ears. I know some of you guys probably listening or watching the English stream during the playoffs probably felt like your ears were hurting. And that's just because it was peaking too much, so that even when we would do those intense play-by-play moments or whatever, it took away from the moments because of the audio quality. And so again, I don't even know if they'll be listening or watching to this. Love you guys in the prod and everything, but hopefully the audio can be addressed and fixed for M5. you know, aside from that, everything else was great, right? I feel like we finally, as like on the talent end, we had a much better experience in terms of like playoffs, and like everything that we had given feedback of in the regular season was more or less like figured out and smooth as could be from a broadcast standpoint. Again, you know, there's minor hiccups here and there, but really that's kind of just expected. Like, no one is perfect. No production team is going to be perfect. And, you know, even like if I could, I would just say, you know, for the viewers out there that are very hypercritical about how things look for MPL Philippines and what they're saying about M5, I think just, you know, be a little more patient. I know that for M5, they're probably going to have like some super prod team like they usually do from all around Minisky Global. Not sure. I'm assuming it is Minisky. I think they've even mentioned that. I don't think anyone else could handle something like M5 that big. But, you know, hopefully they've formed some super global force team, you know, and they can basically put on an amazing show for everybody for M5. So, aside from that, talking about the playoffs here again, I was rooting. You guys would know that I'm a huge RSG Philippines fan. Actually, RSG in general. I root for RSG Singapore and RSG Malaysia, especially now that Demon Kite's over there. But you know, I'm a huge RSG fan, which reminds me, I had to buy their pillow, man. There's a little pillow. The guys told me too that this, no one else bought this. So I feel special, right? At least during playoffs, no one else bought this. So I've got this guy. Thank you very much, RSG. But you know, RSG, I'm always rooting for them, man. So the biggest hit for me in the playoffs was seeing RSG lose. And of course, hearing the words of Coach Panda. And I think I was one of the ones that, especially like a lot of people that were like blindsided by the last chapter comment, which then later was, you know, addressed that he just meant, you know, the last chapter of the season, and, you know, that he's still got a couple more seasons in him. And of course, like the players. But again, we don't know, like every time a season ends, the off season, there's so many things that can happen, especially now that players are kind of like moving in and out of the Philippines or amongst different teams. So, you know, I'm still hoping to see familiar faces on RSG Philippines next season for season 13. But I was definitely rooting for them. I love watching those guys play. I've loved watching and rooting for them even since MSC, right? Where that was my first international event to really cast. So, you know, I hope to see more of them. But during playoffs, that's where I was really like, damn, you know, one of my favorite teams, if not my favorite team, just got beat out, right? And it was very emotional. I'm sure you guys saw some of the videos and the clips and pictures and whatnot. It was very emotional when they had their goodbye message, right? Now, moving on, I think this was also kind of, in a way, like a redemption Not just for me personally, you know, watching Blacklist, what I mean is a redemption of Blacklist International for me, because I was kind of counting them out, to be honest with you guys. Like, through their performance, through regular season and stuff, you know, it was a little shaky. They fixed, you know, a lot of things along the way. But I feel like playoffs especially was kind of a redemption of Blacklist International in my own mind. And what I mean by that is, again, they turned out to be very impressive. I was very impressed also with Renegade. Renegade's growth over the last, you know, couple seasons, if you will, but especially this season has been immense, I feel like. And I know there's a ton of fans out there of him, you know, from even other things going on in his life and that he does professionally, but I do really like watching him play as a player and what he brings to the dynamic, because, you know, as much as I love how the old Blacklist ran, it's kind of refreshing and nice to see how they adjusted to things currently, you know. And there would be times where Renegade would play those Renegade heroes that allows him to be the hitman, and then other times he would adapt and play those heroes that is more towards that traditional Ube strat, right? But overall, I just think that Blacklist International really, really improved, I would say. Of course, enough to get them to the grand final, right? And even against Echo, I love that series, the Blacklist International and Echo series, because, you know, I feel like naturally you're going to root for world champions. And I think a lot of people are rooting for Echo in a way. And still, you know, some people are wondering about the whole, you know, why not? Yeah, why wasn't Yowie in earlier? JP this, JP that, Ben and Cutie, all this stuff, and what's going on with them. And all I can say is that I would just trust what the coaches, the managers, and everyone behind the scenes for Echo is doing, because we do not know, as outsiders from the team, the internal team, what's actually going on, and just speculating and spewing a bunch of BS on the internet will probably not help that. You know, it will not get us or you guys what you want. And that just goes with any team or really anything in life, right? But for me, when I was watching Echo, it's just like, these guys are dominating the hell of the regular season. Playoffs, it seems like they something happened, right? Like, something with their synergy was not as clean or synergized as they used to be. JP was still, you know, having good games, and he was having off games. Even when Yowie was put in, it didn't necessarily mean that that was the answer. Benny Cutie was struggling, and I think it was just a mix of things that, again, we do not know completely about. So, you know, for me, I hope that Echo can somehow readjust. Who knows what's going to happen in the offseason for them? I really don't know. But obviously, you know, it was great still to watch them play. And still a huge Carl Teasy fan, the GOAT. And, you know, wish them all the best in the future. Now, moving forward, AP Bren, you know, I'm not going to talk about all the teams, by the way. I'm just throwing that out there. Teams that really stuck out to me and that really paid attention to, of course. You know, not to say the other teams that were involved weren't special or anything, but again, just kind of wrapping my thoughts about the, especially the last couple days. AP Bren, I'm happy for them, man. I really am. You know, I'm so happy for them that I got the frickin' jacket, dude. Right? I'm not going to put it on because it's hot as hell in the Philippines right now, but we got the jacket. Right? Probably one of the cleanest, if not the cleanest jacket, varsity jacket of a team. And, you know, they are a team that is, I feel like, just the epitome of peak. Like, they're peaking right now. And it's everything that they've been through the past year. And alongside, of course, having a legendary coach that just got inducted to the Hall of Legends. Congratulations again, Coach Ducky. Of course, to also Coach Vren there. Those guys work so hard, and everybody else involved, you know, works really hard with these young guys who not only perform so well in game, but also, you know, I have now witnessed their camaraderie, if you will, like outside of the game. Even when they were in Romania, how much, you know, they like to hang out, spend together. They lift together, and I think that is a huge aspect to their synergy and success. The fact that they're in the gym together, you know, There's not much to say about AP Bren, man. Like, they just, they're so damn good. That's about it. Like, they're so, you go back and watch any of their games, that's pretty much what the conclusion you're going to get to. They're so damn good. And it feels good to cheer them on, right? Because you just see it unfold in game. A team that has so much synergy. Like, we have seen depictions of this from previous teams and even current teams around the world right now. AP Bren is not the only team out there like this, but they are, you know, of course, for me and here in the MPL Philippines, I would say the epitome of a team that has that perfect synergy down right now. Will that change before M5? Probably not. You know, maybe they'll even refine it a little bit more. I don't know, but hopefully some other teams can get some inspiration from that and build from that, you know, within the game and out of the game, however things are handled there. So I do think that, you know, as we move on to M5, I think AP Bren has a great chance at winning the world championship. And if they do that, that'll be just insane in terms of the accolades that they've gotten this year alone. Right. Random fact too, you know, I never publicly said this before playoffs or during playoffs, but I was actually kind of like sick, you know, during playoffs. The day before playoffs started, a couple days before, I was feeling a little under the weather. It wasn't COVID, by the way, but you know, I was feeling a little under the weather, and I was just, I was kind of stressed out a little bit because I was like, damn, I don't want to miss playoffs. You know, I don't want to be sick and not be able to cast. Cause obviously, like, there's certain jobs you can do when you're sick and you could still do it. But casting, dude, imagine trying to cast, and especially play by play cast or whatever, and you're congested. You can't smell, you can't taste, you can barely hear, right? So I felt pretty down day one and two. Thankfully, I was drinking a ton of like green smoothies. I had medicine. Shout out to Mama Persh for getting us talents, always what we need. She really helped me out, of course, you know. So I had like cough syrup, and I had like basically decongested medicine along with like paracetamol to help with the headache. And I just kind of barreled through those like first 2-3 days, and then by day 4 and 5 I felt great. So I'm really happy too, you know. Maybe that's part of staying active, staying fit, and eating healthy, that colds when you get them are rather short, and it didn't turn into like a 5-7 day thing where it completely took me out of the playoffs, because that's what I was worried about, you know, knowing that I had quite a few casts to do, and of course like the grand final. So, you know, we have that, and that was something I was happy about. So, you know, again, just really happy with the way things went. I feel like this was a pretty good playoffs. For me personally, one of the best. Don't know how you guys feel. If you guys are watching this video, maybe on YouTube, or you're listening to it on Spotify, I guess if you're listening or watching on YouTube, feel free to comment down below what you guys thought of the playoffs, what you thought of the whole season of MPL Season 12. Now, just real briefly, ahead of us, of course, we have MPLI, where we have 4 teams, I believe, from the Philippines. I think it is 4. Competing. I'll be watching some MPLI. I actually might be co-streaming it, now that I think of it. I got invited to co-stream it. Won't be casting it. But if you guys want to come hang out during those co-streams, not sure if I'll be doing every day, because we have other things going on, ladies and gentlemen. Speaking of M5, I will be involved in stuff for M5, of course, but I don't think right now I can talk about everything, but I will be involved in M5, so you guys can keep an eye out for that, and I can't wait for it, right? I do think that M5 alone will be phenomenal, just because in a way it's, you know, this whole reunion of all these Filipino talents, imports, coaches, and everything else. But also, I just think that this is a M series where I would say that it's not guaranteed that the Philippines wins. Most of the other M series, like, I'm already thinking that, like, oh yeah, you know, M series for sure going to the Philippines. Honestly, guys, I couldn't say confidently that I 100% think the Philippines is going to win this M series. Would I like it to happen? Sure. But objectively, and, you know, looking at things from the outside, I think it's going to be a very competitive M series, honestly. Not just because of different Philippine import players, but just the fact that, one, you have Philippine coaches going around, But not even that, just the fact that I fully believe that the competitiveness of the teams globally has improved to a point where I just feel like things can happen in the M series, right? I would say that generally every part of the world is looking to improve for MLBB at the esport level, the competitive level, and it's definitely happening. Whether that's because of Philippine imports or not, I just think it's generally happening. And, you know, as a world is catching up to the Philippines in a way. Obviously, we're still the strongest region. Don't get that wrong. But I do think that this M5 will be the most competitive M series that we have seen yet. And I can't wait for it to unfold. So, you know, I'm going to keep this rather short. We'll talk more about M5 as it gets closer and I can divulge more into M5 because I think right now some stuff is still up in the air, obviously. But I really do want to talk more about M5 as soon as I can. Right now, we'll go ahead and keep resting up. You guys can also be watching MPLI, the MPL Invitational, which will be going on, which will kind of give like a preview of some of the teams competing. Some of them won't be, of course, like it'll be a little bit different with MPLI, but still fun to watch. And then after that, of course, we have the M5 wildcard in November. I think it's like the end of November. And then we have M5. So real quick, also big shout out to everybody that came to the playoffs and, you know, said hi to me, took pictures with me, talked to me or messaged me on socials. I really do appreciate you guys so much. And I can't wait to see more of you guys for M5. All right. So that's going to do it for me. Hope you guys enjoyed this. Please leave your comments down below if you're watching on YouTube. And if you're on Spotify, please do give it a rating, a thumbs up or whichever works for you. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you in the next one. Until then, GG, WB.